Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, July 10th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV, another gorgeous day here in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. We're glad you're tuning in today. We hope everyone had a good weekend, a great weekend here. It's good to be back, though. It's very good to be back.
And I guess we're going to ease into the week today.
That's right. Now, we want to, first of all, thank everybody. We didn't have a chance last week, but Lisa informed me that last month, in the month of June, we got over 1.5 million hits on the Wing TV site. So thank you very, very much. And I think it's safe to say, Lisa, that we wouldn't be having all the attacks that we're having against us if we were getting 5,000 hits a month or 10,000 hits a month.
Or if we weren't getting close to a truth.
Exactly. So when they see the kind of action that we're getting here, when we're getting 1.5 million hits in 1 month, no paid advertising, no network behind us. This is as independent as the media gets. That this is saying something, not only for what I think the information we're putting out, but also people out there realizing that, hey, they don't have to stick to these media venues that more and more closely resemble the mainstream media.
Or trash heaps.
Yeah, exactly. Secondly, we're doing two radio interviews tomorrow morning. One of them is at 11 o'clock in the morning with Visigoth. That's
right.
From the Grassy Knoll. And the other one's from 9:30 to 10:30. It's a show located, I think, out of New York City. And in all honesty, I have to go check. But I think this isn't a live show. This is one of the ones where they tape and then they broadcast it later. But
we're
going, So we're going from 9:30 to 10:30 on that one, then from 11 to 12 with Visigoth, and then we'll probably do our show at about 12:30 tomorrow.
Are you going to link
upload it
to the other show too?
Yeah, we'll put a link up there and let people know where it is. Also, we just received very, very good news on Friday that this book here, The New World Order Exposed, and this is our office copy. You can see how how bent up it is. And in all honesty, Lisa, we still reference this book all the time, don't we? When we're writing articles or just talking about things, I'll be like, hey, Lisa, throw me that copy of New World Order Exposed.
And this book has been requested by a congressional staffer to be included in a special collection with the Library of Congress.
Exactly.
So we are very, very appreciative that people higher up the ladder, the government ladder, so to speak, are taking a look at this book and think it's an important piece of work.
And not only is it available now in the United States of America, but also there's a publisher in Japan.
Yeah, get a load of this.
Look at this. Has now published this book in two volumes, The New World Order Exposed in two volumes.
Well, you know, I was wondering, because I can't read this language, but I was wondering how they could get that big old book into this little book, and then we saw the other half of it.
Right. So what they did is they published this in a two-volume collection.
Yeah.
As Lisa said, everything, well, I had it upside down, but you can see everything's in Japanese.
And you can also see that that's not Victor.
Yeah. That's what I look like in Japanese.
No.
But the book reads backwards.
Yeah.
And I'll try to show you. It looks like the glare is too much, but you can see everything in there is in Japanese,
I think. And it opens up backwards.
Yeah, opens backwards, reads backwards. And the only words of English in it says Victor Thorne. Then it says Lisa Giuliani, WingTV.net, New World Order Illusion, 9/11 Exposed. Other than that, the whole entire book is in Japanese.
So we can't even read our book.
Yeah. Now, on top of that, Japan isn't the only country that is republishing books that are published here by Sisyphus Press at Wing TV.
Mm-hmm.
Just last month, John
Leonard
from Progressive Press republished 9/11 on Trial.
Mm-hmm.
He had a nice print run of that. What he did was he added an afterword or a final chapter that really plays upon everything that Professor Stephen E. Jones did, his research, and we compare that to what was published before that in 9/11 on Trial.
We're so thankful because now even wider global audiences are going to be exposed to this information presented in these books. So we really appreciate that these publishers have taken, you know, these steps.
Right. And on top of that, next month in France, a publisher is going to publish mm-hmm. a version that's translated into the French of 9/11 on Trial.
Right.
So we're being now published in Japan and also in France. And I guess this publisher, Lisa, is publishing 5 or 6 different 9/11 books,
uh-huh.
all to coincide with the 5th anniversary of 9/11. He has very high hopes that he can not only reach the French audience, but hopefully somehow spread these books all the way throughout Europe.
Right. Well, and that's our hope as well.
Yeah. And he said, really, in France, there was the first Pentagon book by Terry Masson,
mm-hmm.
but he said there hasn't been anything else in France published in the French language about 9/11. So 9/11 on Trial.
I wonder if Laurent Jacek has some stuff published in France, though.
Yeah.
He might not be aware.
Yeah. I don't know if it's in the French language, though, or if it's in English. I think he was referring to
I'm going to check on that.
Yeah, to the French language. So we're very thankful to all of these publishers for taking the works that we're publishing here and giving it to a wider audience. Also, our mm-hmm. book, The Michael Collins Piper Reader. I should have brought a copy of that in here.
Yeah.
But that was also republished by First Amendment Books, which is associated with the American Free Press.
Correct.
And they went through their entire first print run, and probably this week, the second printing of The Michael Collins Piper Reader. They call it Dirty Deeds, I believe.
Yeah,
and
there's a lot of good things going on, things
yeah.
to be hopeful about, excited about, and we just keep moving toward the future and trying to keep creating and producing good information that we can get out to the public.
Exactly. So what we wanted to do today was, considering that we have mm-hmm. 1.5 million hits last month, we know that there are a lot of new people coming to Wing TV,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them that have just found us, that have been researching this for a while, but also a lot of people that have just recently got into either studying the New World Order, 9/11 and so forth.
Or found us by way of other websites.
Exactly. So what we want to do is talk about what went into the writing of the New World Order Exposed, and even more importantly, how we came upon this information. And it happened at different times in our lives. So I guess I'll start by, I remember the day like it was yesterday. It was 1990. And I was working out in Los Angeles, California, a little town called Carson, which is right in, they call it Little Watts. You know, there's Watts, Compton, Hawthorne. This is basically South Central L.A., right in the mean streets of it, or what Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses called the jungle. This is the heart of L.A. And I was going up, finishing my day at work, and there was a guy up in the front office, and he was talking. He says, "Did you ever hear of this guy named William Cooper?" I said, "No, who's he?" He says, "Well, here's a videotape." He says, "Why don't you go home and watch it tonight?" I said, "All right, yeah, I'll watch it." And I put in the VCR that night, and that day my life changed completely because Bill Cooper opened up a world to everything then. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission.
Mm-hmm.
I next read Gary Ellen's book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. And from then it's been an obsession from 1990 until today, just obsessively just absorbing all of this material. And I'd go down to the library in Long Beach and dig this
mm-hmm.
material out, and then found the American Free Press and on and on. Now, if we jump forward to the year 2001, and I'd met Lisa online. I had read some of her writings, had published some of it. And this was in September, I guess, of 2001, right after 9/11.
Yeah, that you started running
right.
my short stories.
Uh-huh.
But I came to Pennsylvania the end of November 2001, and I didn't know any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Victor had an 11-year head start on me.
Yeah.
And nobody I worked with read or knew anything about any of this stuff. So Victor really buried me in it.
Yeah.
I mean, completely submerged me in it, and started, you know, talking about conspiracies, showing me some videos,
mm-hmm.
and we started looking up at the sky and noticing the weird trails in the sky and taking pictures and getting on internet forums and websites and finding out that a lot of other people are noticing the same things
yeah.
and talking about similar conspiracy theories.
Now, this was before we ever did a radio show. We started
yeah.
our radio show in 2002. So I like to call, when Lisa was here, what happened really was a baptism by fire, because another strange coincidence was that I was in New York City at the latter part of August 2001, and then a week or so later, Lisa was in New York City.
Earlier. I was there a couple weeks earlier
okay.
than you. Oh, okay. We were there in the same month. We didn't know each other.
Right. So we were both in New York City less than a month before 9/11, unbeknownst to each other. So when she came here, this was the end of November 2001, right. And that's right when I first started writing my first 9/11 articles, exposing the cover-up. And at that point, Lisa, there were very, very few people in the whole world writing. I mean, you could really count them on your fingers how many people were writing 9/11 stories. And also then, I got the idea for this book because I had a buddy, and he was on this show once. His name was Duke. Remember we talked about John Lennon?
Right.
His murder, the 25th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And we talk about this stuff all the time on the phone, and he says, we ought to start writing all this down so people can read it. And I'm thinking, this is such a big subject. How could I ever write it all down?
And this he did.
But I started, and as you can see, 570 pages. And that's how the New World Order Exposed came about.
Right.
But what I really remember the most, I guess, is the look on Lisa's face. Many, many, many days and weeks and nights and months in a row when this stuff would be thrown upon her, and it was a baptism by fire.
Yeah, I remember. You know, I grew up with my TV on constantly. Mm-hmm. From the minute I woke up to the minute I went to sleep at night. My parents always had the television on, just completely fed into the whole illusion thing. And then I meet him, and wham! And to say that I was freaked out would be the understatement of the year.
I mean, tell him really, Lisa, how. And I don't think this is exaggerated.
Well, I didn't believe him at first, and I thought he was full of it. And I told him so, and I had a pretty healthy dose of skepticism, even knowing nothing.
But tell him how it really crumbled the foundation everything you knew and believed.
The more I started checking out the stuff that he was telling me to check out, I started realizing, oh my God, he's not kidding, and this isn't a joke, and this stuff is really going on, and it was like losing a parent or something. It was just awful. It was like you go through these stages of grief. And I've seen other people describe it that way. And really, that's what I liken it to. Just the whole shredding, the whole crumbling and dissolving of your former belief system. And you know what? It's still a baptism by fire because we're constantly
finding new stuff. And
our thinking evolves and changes as we learn new things. And, like, even today, I learn new things.
Yeah. And it's, I guess, the part that really crushes people and why so many people run away from this type of research and material is that you realize that virtually everything, and again, I'm not trying to exaggerate or be sensationalistic, but you realize that virtually everything in life that you've encountered
or been taught
is a lie.
Yeah.
It's based on falsehood.
That's such a deep, deep betrayal. I mean, it's really hard to put into words how a person feels about that. I guess it's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who haven't experienced that, I mean, I don't wish that feeling on anybody, but they just can't relate to us.
Yeah.
Because they don't see through that veil yet.
Well,
and many never will.
And that's why I have to commend Lisa so much, because if you take 50 people on the street, okay, and you go up to them and you give them this book, or 9/11 on trial, or anything like that, and you start explaining it, I would say 49 out of 50 are going to run away from the
material. You know what's worse about this, too? You can't just go up to people you know and pour your heart out about it and go, oh, my God, this is... look at what they've been doing. Everything's a lie.
Yeah.
Everything's an illusion. You know, look at all these crimes that have been committed, the deception that's been taking place. People think you're, you know. And it's not like if you have lost a loved one and you're experiencing grief with that, you can go up to a lot of people in your life and discuss these feelings you have and the thoughts you have. But when it comes to this conspiracy stuff, you're limited to a very small segments of the population.
And we hear from a lot of people that are upset in their own families because they'll try to explain this to their sisters or parents.
You're brainwashed. You're in a cult.
And and they just say, like, shut up. Mm-hmm. Don't talk about it anymore. Just let's talk about the weather. Let's talk about sports. Don't talk about this stuff.
And this is because it's too uncomfortable for them to confront. And
their
minds won't allow them.
Yeah, and that shows how special Lisa is because she could have very easily...
It was sort of forced on me. Don't even let it...
No, but see, I remember I'd come home And she'd be printing stuff out, and she'd be like, do you know about this?
I got in trouble for using too much paper.
Yeah, because I'd come home, and there'd be like stacks of paper. There'd be stacks of paper this much, everything she's printing out. And she could have very easily said, I don't want to know about this stuff. Just keep it to yourself. Go back in a different room. But she dove into it with a greediness, and she devoured it to where like she couldn't get enough of finding out about the world.
I've seen that in other people.
Oh, yeah.
Because once that curiosity is sparked, and then you want to know, you can't unlearn and unknow the things that you do know, that you now know.
Yeah.
And so it just fuels the spark to become a flame, which becomes a bonfire after a while. And and then you can turn other people on.
Well, and like we're apt to say around here is you can't unring a bell. So all this, I mean, and
as much as we would like to, many times.
And we'll be honest, there's days when the world out there looks so black and so bleak that you say, you know what, I just like to wash my hands of it all. Let me jump off the planet.
That's what I told Pickering, Russell Pickering, 9/11 researcher today. I said, I'd like to find a way off the planet, Russell, so why don't you use that super intelligent brain of yours to figure a way out for all of us.
The only problem is there's this little thing called gravity, but the point being that you can't unring a bell. So even if you want to get out of this, when you learn the information that we relay in other sites that expose the New World Order, is you can't unlearn this stuff. You can't get it out of your head.
No.
So even if you try to get out of it, you can't.
And there's really nowhere to go,
anyway.
There's nowhere to run to hide from it. It's best, as hard as it is, and it is very hard, to confront it face-to-face. And it really helps to have a support network of like-minded people who can see all the problems that we face and the situations that are going on and all the deceptions that have been taking place for so long.
Yeah, and just imagine knowing everything that you know now,
mm-hmm.
that you said, I want to quit, okay? And I'm talking to everybody out here, too. Just say, I want to quit all this stuff. And they go out and say, that's it. I'm washing my hands of it. And they turn on the TV.
How do you go back to relating to that?
Yeah, how do you go back to that when you're watching CNN? Or you're watching Fox? Or, soon, you'll be watching Katie Couric on CBS. And they're talking about, whoa, Osama bin Laden just sent another tape in. And you're like, wait a second. This is a bunch of crap. I know this isn't real. Or if they talk about 9/11 and say, well, these passengers made these cell phone calls at 30,000 feet. And you're like, wait a second. I know. And all of a sudden, it's like, I'm back in it again. You can't get out of it. And that's a good thing.
There's one good thing that people need to know. You know, we react initially to all this new information, very basically at an emotional level. And it's very hard to keep from doing that because it just affects you to your core, to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned, and I'm still learning, and this is something new for me, too, to try to look at it from an analytical point of view, as if you're, like, looking at a specimen. You're studying it, like, from a naturalist point of view, so that you detach yourself emotionally. You control your emotional reaction to the new information, and you study it, and I think you can have a clearer, more objective perspective on what you're learning.
But see, when I was jumping into it, I remember I was living in San Pedro, California. I'd go to the library in Long Beach, and I'd start ordering books and so forth. Or I'd go up to Hollywood, and they had some bookstores up there where I'd find this material. And I remember driving home, and being filled with such an excitement that this whole new world had opened up, because I'd always known something was wrong.
Were you angry when you first started finding out?
Well,
I was enraged. I was furious.
Yeah.
Furious. Were you?
Well, I would go to work and talk to this guy, and even though he had a head start on me and was much more aware about it, he was kind of a mentor role, you
mm-hmm.
know, we would talk about this and discuss it, and it was like, I can't believe, you know, when you find out about Pearl Harbor, when you find out about this was much later, but Oklahoma City or, you know, the USS Liberty and on and on and on and on. You're like, how can this happen? How can this be happening? And 99% of the populace buys into it. And if I hadn't stumbled across this material, I might still be today in 2006 one of the people sitting in front of, you know, CBS News saying, oh, yeah, I buy into it. So
yeah, when Victor came out with his book, New World Order Exposed, we decided we wanted to put some kind of little video on our website to represent the book. And so I know a lot of people have questions about that little video that we have on the top of our homepage, which is a video summary of every section of the book. There are no spoken words in it. It's all set to music with really powerful images, and it was the very first attempt I made at putting together a video, so it's, you know, not so great. But it's about, what, 13 minutes long or something like that, and it was just to represent the different sections of the book, all the articles Victor wrote and compiled together to create New World Order.
Well, let me tell
that's
a little,
like what's behind that.
Yeah, let me tell a little story about that. There's a woman who writes for EtherZone. Her name's April Shenandoah.
Right.
And she visited us at our old place a couple years ago. This is right after you got done. Actually, I think, Lisa,
like the same day I was getting done with putting that video together.
Yeah, I think it was before it was even uploaded onto the internet.
She was the first person who got to see it.
Yeah. And so the three of us sat there watching it on the monitor. And when the end of this 13-minute video arrived...
She and I are both crying.
Yeah, I'm looking over, and they both have tears running down their eyes because it's such a great visual portrayal of the lies that have been
blistered
upon us.
Well, you know what it is? It's one on top of another.
Yeah.
One image on top of another, just... it's like piling a weight on your shoulders. And when you see just how that weight piles up, it just hits you in the face. And when you're familiar with all of the subject matter, it's kind of overwhelming. I mean, even today, that video will bring tears to my eyes.
Yeah. So everybody out there, let us know what you first encountered, what your thoughts and emotions were when you found out that the world isn't what it's purported
and
to
we
be.
I should say, too, people like us, and it's been said, I think, by Michael Corbin, I might be wrong about who said it, but we're not the favored sons and daughters.
Right.
In America or in the various countries that we're in, because we think of these things and we talk about these issues, you know, it's a lonely road. It is a very lonely, and I think everybody, as you go along this path, you're going to experience how lonely this road can get the closer you get to the truth.
Well, and you know how much easier it would be to just to become one of the cogs in the wheel, which is what the government and the New World Order wants. They want you to pat you on the head, go to work, pay your taxes. Don't ask any questions. You know, keep your mouth shut. So it's a lot easier. But, you know, I've always said, where is it written that life is supposed to be easy? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, where's this written document? It's, we're supposed to just glide through life.
And where's the cosmic roadmap?
Yeah, you know, so anyway, we want to thank Tokuma Publishers in Tokyo, Japan. Right there it is, the 2-edition volume of the New World Order Exposed.
Congratulations, Victor.
Well, thank you. And, you know, this really started coming together 2 years ago, and I hadn't heard anything in 2 years, so I thought, they just blew it off. But we finally got those books last Friday in the mail. So we're very pleased about that. Next month, 9/11 on trial in France.
And you know what's really amazing? That his hand hasn't fallen off with how much he's written so far. How many books do you have now?
He's like 15, I think, or so. So, and, you know, we just keep going. That's what we do. And a lot of people ask, like, how do you guys fit it all into the day? Well, if you would see our day, you know, it starts at 3:30 in the morning and it goes till 9:30, 10 o'clock
or
at
later,
night. And they're just very, Lisa ends up spending, you know, half the night a lot of times doing her research. So, anyway, we want to thank everybody out there for tuning in. We're coming up on the 5th anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah.
There's events coming up. If you can make it to New York City.
Ground Zero, 9/11.
I know. We're going to be there. We hope to see you there. If you are, come up and say hello. Until tomorrow, keep your eyes open. We'll let you know about our interviews tomorrow morning.
Right.
There's a lot going on, so keep your eyes open.
See you then.